Good Sunday morning, Iowa. It's Dr. Rick Gotting. Thank you for spending some time with me here this morning. And so I took a week off, and as you might have noticed, last week was a rerun. If you didn't notice, well, last week was a rerun. Anyway, I took the family down to Cabo San Lucas in Mexico. So a little geography. So there's two main tourist areas in Mexico that Americans go to. One is Cancun and the other is Cabo. So Cancun is over on the tip of what you typically think of as the country of Mexico, over there on the Yucatan Peninsula, it's called. So it's bordering the Gulf of America and kind of juts out into the Caribbean. That's Cancun. Now, Cabo San Lucas, or the Los Cabos region, as I learned, is at the tip of the Baja Peninsula, which is over on the west side of Mexico. So it's Baja California, even though it's called Baja California, even in Mexico, but it's actually Mexico. It just goes back to when all these things were named. So Baja means below, and California is California, so it means below California, Baja California. So that little peninsula juts down, and the bottom of it is Los Cabos. And it's very interesting how different they are. One of the things is, now I've been to Cancun and I was only there for a concert, but they're very reluctant to let you leave the resorts because they're very concerned that things will happen to you. There's huge crime. When you'll be sitting there on the beach and all of a sudden a guy will walk by with a AR-15 on his shoulder, a military guy. And I just saw a couple weeks ago a article, I don't remember where it was, but it piqued my attention, and that they were sending 7,000 troops to Cancun to protect the tourists, literally. And, you know, I thought, okay, but I'm reading about Cabo, and everyone says you need a car, you got to get out and see stuff. So I get down there, and the first thing that we did, we stayed, so there's Cabo San Lucas, which is kind of the party town. Well, you know, where all the people go and they, you know, everybody drinks until whatever hours in the morning and stuff like that. And then there's another town that's much sleepier called San Jose del Cabo. And then there's sort of what they call the tourist corridor in between. And that's where we stayed, is the tourist corridor in between. We stayed in this very nice, I don't know how old it is, but it's done in Spanish colonial. The architecture is Spanish colonial, so it kind of looks like the Alamo, I guess. And would have the spires that look like the old missions. And we would go on the beach, and oftentimes we were the only people on the beach. And so we kind of had the beach to ourselves. It wasn't really a swimming beach. I swam once for a few minutes, but I'm pretty ocean-worthy. It was a pretty rough place. I told my daughters, you're not getting in there. And so, you know, but they had good food, and it was just beautiful and relaxing. So we did our excursion. So the first excursion we did was a surf trip. So a guy picked us up and he took us out to this place just way out in the boonies. And so I'm thinking, well, this is Mexico. I'm like, what in the world? You're driving a nice truck here. And he said, you know, there's just not much crime here. He said that, you know, nobody's stealing a car because Los Cabos is kind of like an island, because there's just one highway going out of there, right? So he said, so nobody really steals cars. And I said, he's like, I leave my keys in my car, and nobody does anything to it at the places where I go. And he described to me that the entire area of Los Cabos, now you're going to get more, if you're in Cabo San Lucas, there's going to be more petty crime, right? There's going to be more theft and things like that, just because it's sort of a city. But once you get outside of it and you're out on the beaches, he said that there's nothing, and there's not much violent crime at all. The cartels, he didn't really explain exactly why the cartels don't seem to be, he said there's none of the protection rackets, there's none of that stuff. They just kind of don't do that. I mean, I'm sure they're there. Look, it's a part of what is happening in Mexico, is the cartels are big, right? I mean, I'm sure they're there because, like I said, over in Cabo San Lucas is the big party place. So I'm sure that a lot of people are, you know, want their drugs to party too. And so the cartels, you know, and he did say that they were involved in other sorts of activities that people might be interested in who, you know, different stuff, criminal stuff, basically. And he said, but they're just low-key about it, and they just don't want to make a scene with sort of the regular tourists. So from that aspect, it was great. I mean, our hotel was quiet at night. The food was good. We rode camels, which was interesting to me. I didn't know there were camels down there, but there are. You know, it was basically probably old circus camels or something, and they've been breeding them, and so now they just take you on a little camel ride on the beach. It takes like 10 minutes, but my daughter wanted to do it, so we got a camel ride on the beach. And then we did some like 4x4 excursions, and those were pretty well contained, but it was fun kind of riding through the desert a little bit. But it was fun. So if you've ever thought of going to Mexico, to me, I think Cabo is just a better choice than Cancun, because it just is the safety factor. I mean, the ocean is definitely safer in Cancun if you like to get in the ocean. Like I said, we did go surfing, but, you know, as far as the beaches over, we drove a fair ways to go surfing, and we did go snorkeling as well. I saw some manta rays and some beautiful fish, but over kind of in what is classically Cabo San Lucas, in the Cabos area, there's only one beach that they say is pretty safe for swimming. And I've seen a lot of videos, and I was watching the ocean. It's pretty heavy out there. But that was our little trip. And then we got back to town, and I was a shuttle driver for my daughters and their friends going to this Hinterland Music Festival outside of Des Moines. It's a pretty big festival. I guess they had 20,000 people there. And they had some pretty big acts, none of whom I could tell you a song of course, but big national acts. And so the first night, we kind of followed the directions that the festival gave us. We left our house at 9 and got home at 1 a.m. after picking them up when the concert was over at like 11. And so by the time they walked out to meet us and we got out of the parking and everything, and then drove home, it was 1 in the morning, so that wasn't that fun. But that was Friday night. But Saturday night, it was a little bit better. We were able to do some little back roads, and we got in and out there in an hour and a half, so that wasn't too bad. And yeah, so it's just been kind of a nice, relaxing week. It's fun to take vacation, and you know, the one thing that I like about my job is that I like my job and I like what I do and I like where I do it. And so it's when you do come back, like it's now Monday morning, and I've just spent the first half of the day seeing patients, and it's just fun. It's nice to get back in the swing of things. I tell you, I'm a long way from wanting to retire, because I still really enjoy what I do. So one thing that is interesting is we've just as we got platelet-rich plasma set up in our clinic, which is very recent that we finally got everything we got. So platelet-rich plasma is another option when you talk about injection options for orthopedics. So we'll talk, it's used for rotator cuffs. It's used for tennis elbow, plantar fasciitis, things like that. And it's also used for knee arthritis. So platelet-rich plasma is we take your blood and spin it down in a centrifuge, and the centrifuge is running a tube that has a specific type of a filter. So it filters the blood out. So it takes all the red blood cells out, the ones that carry the oxygen, and it leaves the plasma behind. And so the plasma is the rest of what's in the blood. And the plasma has platelets in it, and this plasma filters down, and then you have what they call platelet-rich plasma, PRP. So it's not the same as stem cells, but it's in that category of what you would call orthobiologics, which is essentially using your own or someone else's tissue to heal you. And so we decided that we wanted to offer platelet-rich plasma because there's been some increasingly encouraging literature, and I get emails all the time of studies, and they say this study shows this study shows that, and just from different journals and things. And got one yesterday about platelet-rich plasma. So the options are, and we're just talking about knee arthritis, but it's basically the same for rotator cuffs and all, for tennis elbow and things like that. So the two main options are corticosteroids, and that's an anti-inflammatory. You can inject that anywhere in the body, and it usually helps for a while. And sometimes it'll break the cycle of inflammation, and then then you can kind of, your body can just restore. And that you can put anywhere. Then in the knee specifically, you have a second option called viscosupplementation. And viscosupplementation means that you're supplementing the viscosity of the fluid. In other words, the viscosity is the property that oil has, where it's that sort of thick and lubricated type of fluid versus water. So viscosupplementation, we inject that into the knee, and that's only approved for the knee. Well, it's approved, but that's only paid for in the knee. If you want that in your shoulder, you have to pay for it yourself. It is covered by insurance. Now, platelet-rich plasma is not covered by any insurance, but nevertheless, there is a demand out there for it. I've had it myself. I had it in my tennis elbow, I was pretty certain that I was going to have tennis elbow surgery. And I had my platelet-rich plasma injection, and it took a while, but I have essentially no pain in my elbow anymore. And platelet-rich plasma has shown a lot of promise. And this is it's called a meta-analysis. I'll read you the title of the study. So platelet-rich plasma is more effective than hyaluronic acid. That's the lubricant, the viscosupplementation injection. Platelet-rich plasma is more effective than hyaluronic acid injections for osteoarthritis of the knee. A meta-analysis based on randomized, double-blinded, controlled clinical trials. So what that means is they're saying that they did find that platelet-rich plasma is better than the gel injection for knee arthritis. A meta-analysis means that they took a bunch of other studies and compared their results. I mean, one study with 10 people doesn't mean anything. It's completely meaningless. A study with 100 people, maybe it means a little bit. A study with 1,000 people is starting to mean something because you have enough variety there. A study with 10,000 people is pretty meaningful because you just have a lot of data there. And so the meta-analysis takes all these different studies, and maybe they had 1,000 or 500 or whatever, and so you magnify the results because you're adding them all together. And these were randomized, double-blinded, controlled clinical trials. So what that means is randomized means the patient would sign up for the study, and they would get one injection or the other, and they would not know what they were getting. And double-blinded means that their doctor didn't know what they were getting either. So, you know, how do you do that? Well, you have somebody other than the doctor give the actual injection, and the doctor... So what would happen technically is someone would come in and they would do something like flipping a coin, literally. And the people who are doing the study, person would come in, and let's say you get, just for simplicity, you get 10 people that are going to be in this study. And you're going to give half of them the platelet-rich plasma. The other half are going to get the viscosupplementation. They don't know which one they're getting. Their doctor doesn't know which one they're getting. So they take them in another room, flip a coin, give them one or the other. And then the doctor continues to treat them, and the doctor doesn't know. But he records the results, or she records the results. So how much better did they get? How long did it last? Those kind of things. So it's a very meticulous way of gathering data. It is what you call the gold standard of science. And that's why, you know, when you see study shows this, there's a lot of different ways to do a study. And the best way to do it is a randomized, double-blinded, placebo-controlled. But this is not placebo-controlled because you were comparing one thing to the other. If it was a placebo-controlled study, you would compare injecting just like sugar water or something into the knee, like people wouldn't know whether it was going to be sugar water or whether it was going to be platelet-rich plasma. That's not what this is. This is, they were directly comparing. And they found that at 12 months, there were statistically significant differences in the pain total and minimal clinically important differences, with PRP being superior to viscosupplementation in the treatment of knee osteoarthritis. So what they're saying there is that essentially every level of pain, the total pain, pain through the threshold. And when they say minimal clinically important differences, I mean, they're basically just saying there wasn't like range of motion difference. There wasn't a lot of, you know, there wasn't difference in who could walk and who couldn't walk. But there was a significant difference in the pain. Anyway, I just thought I'd go through that. And we are offering the platelet-rich plasma injections, and they are good for tennis elbow, rotator cuffs, knee arthritis, almost anywhere you would put a corticosteroid injection or cortisone injection, you could put a platelet-rich plasma injection. So we wanted to offer that. And it's just nice that, you know, just as we're kind of getting up and running with it, that I get an email saying, hey, here's further validation that the treatment that we're offering is good and better than actually some of the other things that we're offering, which are still good. And the only difference is, I mean, it's more invasive because you have to draw out the blood. And then also, you know, it's not covered by insurance. So, but it's an option. If you're looking at platelet-rich plasma, wherever you are, it's probably reasonable. And, you know, hopefully someone in your area is offering it because like it says in this study, it's better than the viscosupplementation. But again, it's not covered by insurance. So anyway, with that, I hope you learned a little something. Hope you enjoyed it and you have a blessed week, Iowa.